Come on, if he wants to use you to bless somebody, if he wants to use you to pray, if you're available, just open up your mouth and let him know, God, I'm available for whatever you want to do. All right, listen, stand for the reading of God's word. I love you so much. I always kid around and say I've been running like a head with my chicken cut off. Come on, somebody. But I have been so engrossed in doing the work of the Lord. Wednesday, we were at our campus in Texas. Revival is breaking out. I was with my precious friend in Ohio Thursday night in the Pentecostal Pavilion, packed just full of people. It was an outdoor meeting, and the heat index that day was 104. So if I look skinny, I lost weight. Come on. And then yesterday and last night, I was with Pastor Kilpatrick, and then got in real late this morning, or early this morning, actually. And I'm here because I'm hungry. Am I the only one? Is anybody else hungry? And then, you know, I pray for Dawn and I step on an airplane right after church. I'm going to South Africa. And I'll be preaching this same gospel there. How many of you know God can't stop, the enemy can't stop what God is doing through Calvary? Hallelujah. Acts 16, I feel an assignment to preach today. Who's ready to get dangerous with me? Anybody want to be dangerous? Oh, I feel it over here. I said, anybody want to be dangerous? Come on. Verse 6, chapter 16. Now, when they had gone, you by live stream, thank you for being with us. When they had gone through Phrygia and to the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit, watch this, to preach the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came to down to Troas. Come on, where is like Dallas? An easy word. Come on, somebody. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Somebody just declare, I'm a helper. Yeah, however God wants to use me, I am a helper. Hallelujah. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and the Bible says, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for many days, and on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women there. We met them. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. And then look at verse 25. About midnight, the Bible says that Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. They've been thrown into prison because of their witness for Jesus. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And the Bible said, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. It happened when they praised the Lord. Prison doors open and chains came loose. I bet you're ready for this word. I'm preaching today, praise will break the chains. Oh, come on, we've been talking about it, we've been singing about it, now we're gonna preach about it. Who believes that your praise can break the chains in your life? So, Father, we lift up our hands in this sanctuary. People are joining us by live stream. We're sharing it on Facebook. We're all over the world right now. And, God, we know that there's something about our praise that can connect us together. We are a house of praise. And so we declare that no chains have power over us. I just want you to say that right now. Say, no chains have power over me. Say it now, because I'm a praiser and praise will break the chains. Now, if you've got any residual chains on your life, just praise God and watch them break in the name of Jesus. All right, before you sit down, tell everybody in your neighborhood, say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I want to get right into this today. I'm not going to be preaching a long time, maybe, but I feel this assignment and I want to deliver everything that God has placed in my spirit. I came to make an announcement that many of you already know and understand. Praise will break the chains. Calvary is a Jubilee house. We are releasing music that is literally being sung around the world. The song that Courtney wrote, Glory, Hallelujah. Our little Courtney wrote that. Come on. Our Pastor Courtney wrote that, and that is being sung around the world. This song that they just finished, Praise Will Break the Chains, Yahweh is Worthy, Worthy. Get ready to hear that all over the world. They're singing our songs at Jensen Franklin's church. They're singing our songs in Africa. They're singing our songs in Asia. There is a jubilee on this house, and I'm not ashamed of it. When you hear people sing, Here Comes Freedom, Here Comes Freedom, that's a Calvary song being sung all over the world. So if you wanted to come to a church that was ashamed to praise God, that thinks it's just a big old bunch of emotion, you are in the wrong house on the wrong day, on the wrong Sunday, because we know that praise will break the chains. Come on, it's not just noise, it's not just hype, it's not just reaction. Can I tell you this? I want you to get this in your spirit, young person, because you're going to need to live this reality. Praise is not just noise, it's not just responding to music. Honey, praise is a weapon. When you praise the Lord, you are weaponized. Hallelujah. When you open up your mouth, you are using your weapons. And when you lift up praise in a dark place, the pain has to break, the prison has to open, and chains have to fall, because you are praising a God that does not tolerate his people being in bondage. He sets his people free. So we will always be a house of deep worship. Many of you know when the glory comes, man, we get right down into the glory of the Lord. But make no mistake about it, we are a jubilee house. We are a house of praise. So I'd like to, precious, walk this quickly out and make this deposit in your spirit. So if you're ready, would you just make a declaration and say, I'm ready. All right, number one, when God wants to interrupt your agenda, you need to let him. When God wants to shift something in your life, just say, be it unto me, Lord. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. You say, well, I got plans. Well, I'm glad you told me that. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. If you want to make God laugh, you just tell him what you think you're going to do. Because we don't tell God our plans. God tells us his plans. Now, here Paul is in this story. It's very powerful. In Acts 16, Paul has his own plans. He thinks he's moving with strategy. He feels momentum. And he wants to preach in Asia by way of Bithynia. But heaven put up a do not enter sign. It was like the Lord said, you think you're going to go this direction, but I want to send you another direction. And God literally blocked it. I don't know about you, but I thank God for every door he's ever opened in my life. I thank God for everything he unlocked, but I also have to praise God for everything he blocked Every door he shut that would have been a negative impact on my purpose. See, we always want to praise God over the open doors, but why don't you stop right now and thank God for everything he shifted, everything he blocked. Come on. There's such strong language in this text, precious, in Acts 16. It said here, the Holy Spirit, watch this, forbade him and did not allow him to speak in Acts 16. And just when it seemed that every door was closing and Paul is feeling this frustration, God gave Paul a vision by night. I'm glad that God still speaks at night. I'm glad God still speaks to us when things seem dark and unclear and we can't see for sure where we're going. He had a vision by night, the Bible says. It's so powerful to me because in that vision, a man from Macedonia is crying and that man says, come and help us. Now, you know how I love to really teach you the Bible, and I love to look behind the text and see what's going on. Macedonia, if you define that word, it comes from a very powerful Greek word, mekandinos, meaning tall or large or extended or great. The root word mak implies a stretching out, an expansion, an elevation. This was not about geography. This was about a prophetic invitation, an assignment that Paul was receiving. God was inviting Paul into something bigger. God was inviting Paul into something grander than he originally thought that he was going to do. God said, Paul, I'm calling you into a big thing. I'm calling you into an extended thing. I'm calling you into a kingdom thing. I'm calling you into a supernatural thing. This was the first time that the gospel would touch European soil. There's so much doctrine in this thing. There's so much of God's power at work in here. When he speaks, we listen and we obey because God sent Paul, and this was the first time in Greece that the gospel would be preached in Europe. Paul was headed to Asia, but God rerouted him towards Greece and Europe, and this call would shift history. It would reshape continents. It would open revival across generations. He said, Paul, I'm taking you out of a limited thing into a limitless thing. I'm taking you out of confinement, and I'm about to unlock your purpose in a way that you never thought possible. Paul, I'm moving you from the familiar into the expansive. Paul, I'm changing your direction because your mind wasn't big enough. You could not comprehend that what I had for you to do was so much bigger than you perceived and understood. I feel like I'm prophesying to somebody in the house. God's about to break off small thinking. There's some limited thinking that you've had, but God said, I'm inviting you out of the small thing and into the big thing. I wonder, is there anybody in this Calvary family who wants to do something big in the last days for Jesus? God was saying, Paul, it's a big thing. He said, I'm not just changing your direction. I'm enlarging your destiny. I'm not just changing your direction. I'm enlarging your destiny. Now, I'll be honest with you. Ever since I gave my heart to Jesus and decided to do the work of the Lord, I've wanted to do something big for God. And the truth is, God was telling Paul, I see what you don't see. God was telling Paul, in essence, you were aiming for Bithynia, but Paul, I'm calling you to Macedonia. You were thinking small, but I'm positioning you for something expansive. See, you had a mission that you wanted to fulfill, but I had a movement that I wanted to launch. I'll say it again, man, since I've been very young, there's been something in me that hungers to be just so much more than a survivor. There is something in me that does not want a church that does not have power. There's something in me that wants to possess the land, take ground, walk in revival, see miracles, signs, and wonders. I feel like God is gathering a remnant of people here at Calvary and across our 10 campuses who say, we don't want business as usual. We don't want this microscopic God that does not move, but expand us into a place where we see exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. That's the call. It was Paul's call, and somebody say it's our call. When God comes on the scene, here's the word. You want to do the big thing. You want to do the eternal thing. And the good news is we don't do it by ourselves. We do it together. But if you want to do the big thing, here's the word. When God interrupts you, when he interrupts your plans, when he shuts a door, when he shifts something, don't fight it. When the Spirit blocks your route, don't fight him. He's got a better route. I said, he's got a better route. And even if the route seems different than you thought, go ahead and rejoice, because it's got to be better if God is in it. Because the Bible says the steps of a good man and a good woman are ordered of the Lord. Now, I want to get this taught, but I want somebody to give God a he's ordering my steps praise right now. You say, well, Apostle, you don't know. I'm telling you, praise can break the chains of confusion and fear about the future. He can break it off of you right now. So I want somebody who don't mind praising God, praise him that he's ordering your steps right now. This is a thank you, God, for ordering my steps. God has ordered my steps. Can I be transparent with you? And at times, in the moment, y'all pray for your weaker brother. I didn't like it. It made me uncomfortable. But God saw things that I didn't see, because he doesn't just see the bigger picture, he sees the whole picture. You see where you are. You see the moment you're in, but God sees the whole picture. Now, what I am seeing here, it's so powerful to me that we have already established that Macedonia represents large and extended and big, that Paul had to surrender his desire to go to Bithynia. God changed his direction. Can I say it on a dime? Now, let me just stop here and just give a personal testimony. 28 years ago, this August, Dawn and I are going to celebrate 28 years leading the Calvary family. Dawn was 9 years old when we came and took this church. Come on. 28 years ago, we were on the evangelistic field. We had so much favor on our lives. We knew, man, this is it. We are here to stay. We love what we're doing. We blow in, blow up, and blow out. Come on, somebody. I was booked a year in advance. I never called for a meeting. I never asked anybody, could I come? Our ministry was literally exploding in every sense of the word. Resources, opportunities. It was hard to describe what God was doing. I preached a year revival every Friday night in Tampa, Florida. I was traveling with my family. God had given us so much favor. Courtney was just a baby, and out of nowhere, Mac Ballard, who's in heaven, started calling me, and back then they were meeting in the gym. Jesus, it was a challenging situation. Some of you were there. Financially, the church was wrecked, and I just knew that God wouldn't call me here. I'm doing something else, Lord, and I like it. But I came here, long story short, I caught a burden. I heard the Lord. But in that process, it was difficult. I was with John Kilpatrick yesterday and last night, the Brownsville Revival. And you know what was happening back then. It was a mighty move of God. And I told Dawn, I said, listen, it's no big deal. You know, they're good people. We'll pray with them. Let's get dressed. She was aggravated because I wanted to drive up here and meet Mac Ballard. And I said, he's a good man. You got to tell a man like that, you tell him no to his face. You don't talk to somebody like that on the telephone. She said, you know we're not going to go. Why you even, how you like me now? Come on. Why you even want to go? Why you even want to get in the car? I'm going to tell on you. You know you said all that. The first day we preached here, we went back to the hotel at the Sleep Inn. She threw her clothes on the bed and said, I didn't feel nothing. Come on, somebody. But let me tell you, when we were wrestling about coming and we thought we were going to go one direction and we had it all figured out, I had my whole life mapped out. All of a sudden, one day out of Brownsville, they were doing a newspaper about the revival. They sent, somebody gives me a photocopy of it, and I read the caption, and John Kilpatrick has wrote an article, and the article said, I have changed your direction on a dime. You thought you were going one way, but now you're going another. You thought you were doing one thing, and now you're doing another. And I showed Dawn, and she said, that devil's trying to confuse us. I'll tell you that. But I tell you what, I'm so glad 28 years later that Dawn and I had the ability to look past our own desires and our own comfort. 10 campuses later, thousands of people later, look what the Lord has done. I'm trying to tell you, if God wants to shift your agenda, you better let him, because something better is on the way. Give God a shout if you believe it. Can I tell you something very quickly? Pause, detour, John Rogers. I'm looking at you over there. Look, that's my buddy. Me and you met in the parking lot 27 years ago. If I wouldn't have come and the Lord wouldn't have spoken to us, you wouldn't be sitting there right now with your beautiful wife. I'm looking at people across this room. I'm looking, God help me, Jesus. I'm looking at Debbie and Randy. I'm looking at my own children that are in ministry. I'm looking at folks all over this building. Hallelujah. You might not have never made it to this place, but when you say yes to God, baby, there's a domino effect. Hallelujah. And God blesses it. How many of you want to be a part of something that blesses more than just you? Hear me now. Paul's detour wasn't a delay, and neither is yours. It was divine. At times, when God says no to your agenda, it's because he's saying yes to something greater. I said it's because he's saying yes to something greater. So get out of the way and let God have his way. If you're going to get out of the way and let God have his way, give him a praise right now. Come on. So here's what I found out too. Now, when we came here, 95% of you guys weren't here. But here's what I've come to understand. You ready for this? When God sends you to the right place, he wants to connect you to the right people. When we bring historical, biblical, situational context to this scripture, it's powerful because the strategic ground is Philippi. Philippi is the first European ground for the gospel. As I said, it's no ordinary city. They called it Little Rome. They had the customs of Rome. They worshiped like Rome. They were bound like Rome. They were bound in demonic strongholds. They acted like Rome. Philippi had that culture of Rome. But God said, Paul, I'm sending you because I want to impose heaven's agenda on a hell-bound city. He said, the city is in one condition now. but I'm about to send you to a place where it looks like it's impossible for revival, and I'm about to birth a church that became one of the most powerful churches in all of the New Testament. I've come to tell you that years ago, when Dawn and I were entertaining coming, we were riding this way, and we had a bag phone. We were on the way here to meet Mac Ballard and that group of people, and we had a bag phone. Let me tell you, when you had a bag phone, you had it going on. Come on, somebody. We had a conversion van. That means it was saved. Hello, somebody. And it was a bag phone. And my bag phone started ringing. And they said, don't go to Daytona Beach. Don't go to Ormond. That's a preacher's graveyard. You can't do anything in Ormond. They can't be a move of God in Ormond. People don't want a church in revival in Ormond. Jim Ormond, Daytona Beach, that's not for you. Did I not get that? I had some of the greatest leaders from this nation calling my bag phone, telling me not to come. But let me say something. God brought revival to Philippi, and God brought revival to Daytona Beach. And I want you to know that we ain't seen nothing yet, that the very best is yet to come, because the mercies of God are new every morning. My God, I feel like this next decade is going to be outpouring like we've never seen. If you're ready, give God a shout. If God can do it in Philippi, Palm Coast doesn't stand a chance. If God can do it in Philippi, Holly Hill better get ready, get ready. Y'all ain't helping me. Ormond better get ready. Orlando better get ready. Panama City better get ready. New Smyrna Beach better get ready. Somebody who's declaring that we are going to have regional revival, give God a shout for it. Florida, don't you? I'm just telling you, Florida, you don't have to stand a chance. Paul didn't come with a motivational message. He came with a mandate for outpouring, right? For visitation. And anytime you show up with a mandate, you need to expect warfare. Hello, somebody. Anytime you show up to do something significant for God, you got to anticipate warfare. And watch this. You say, well, Apostle, why? Because the enemy doesn't fight you over where you've been or even where you are. Because I'm going to get real deep right now. Because where you are is where you is. Come on. The enemy doesn't fight you over where you've been. He can't do nothing about where you've been. He doesn't fight you over where you are. He fights you over where you're going. But I feel like this church is filled wall to wall with people who have made up in their mind, I am not going to be denied my purpose and my destiny. Whatever God has for me, I'm going to walk in fullness, and I'm going to get where God has called me to go. Is there anybody who's made up in their mind, you're not going to be denied the season that God has for you? The Macedonian call would pivot the gospel toward Europe and eventually release revival in this wayward city called Philippi. Now, it's unlikely that it would be a city like Philippi, but it was. But it wasn't just the place. When God has an agenda, he doesn't just send you to a place. He connects you with the right people. And the Bible said, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened up her heart, the Bible said, to heed the things which were spoken by Paul. God connected Paul to Lydia. Now, let me go a little bit deep with you today, precious. Lydia's name, when you define her name means a travailer. Her name means to birth. It literally means a birther or birthing pains. Symbolically, it implies a person who births. So God connected Paul to someone who could carry and bring forth the kingdom purpose. She was a seller of purple. She had influence. She had resources. A seller of purple. Purple in the Bible was symbolic of nobility. It's symbolic of royalty. It's a symbol of wealth. And purple garments were reserved for kings and emperors. They were costly and they were rare. But she was a seller of purple. God connected Paul to a birther who had the ability to clothe kings, who had the ability to promote agendas, who had the ability to do this great work. God connected Paul to agenda, to this woman who could fulfill the agenda of heaven. The king that would be robed would be a king named Jesus. And the agenda was the gospel. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to connect to any agenda, let me connect to an agenda that will absolutely transform people's lives. In other words, Paul got in the right place, and God sent him the right people. God sent him a birther. Can I get a radical with you? Raise up your hands. I declare that critical relationships are coming to you in the next 6 months. I declare the people that you need in your life, they are coming into your life, and together you will do the significant things for your future and your destiny and for the kingdom. If you receive new relationships, open up your mouth and give God praise. They might even be on your row. They might even be in your section. Paul got in the right place and God aligned him with a birther. Watch. Somebody that had influence. Somebody that had resources. Somebody that had discernment enough to realize that Paul was legit. Somebody that had connections. You see, when you follow God's direction, he'll place strategic people, come on now, in your life. So here's the word. When you go where God sends you, he'll send what you need and who you need. When you align with his purpose, he'll align birthers. I look at my life and he's given me birthers. I look at you and many of you are birthers in this ministry. Every Paul needs a Lydia and every Lydia needs a Paul. God, help me, Jesus. God is going to put people together who understand my assignment is to perpetuate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you say? Sometimes I'm a Paul, but sometimes I'm a Lydia. Oh, Jesus. Y'all don't want to help me. Sometimes I'm a Paul and I need help, but sometimes I become a Lydia and I say, let me help you now. Let me help you fund that thing. Let me help you do that thing. Let me be a part of it. How many of you are thanking God that whatever you need in the next season, God's going to send it to you? Whatever our church needs in the next season, God is sending it to us. Sometimes I'm a Paul, sometimes I'm a Lydia. This is why you never know who has the capacity to help you. And you never know who you have the capacity to help. You never know who might be a Lydia in your life. That's why you better be nice. Just look at your neighbor and say, if you knew who you were sitting by. Yeah. You better learn to be kind because you can't do this by yourself. You better learn to be kind because what God has called you to do is too big for one man. It's too big for one woman. But I look across this room today and I say, look what the Lord has done. We got builders and birthers in the house today. Now, third thing I want to show you, precious, is that when the Spirit moves, the spirits move. Oh, that's deep water there. We must never be surprised by the fact and reality, listen to me online, that when the Spirit moves, the spirits move. That when God starts moving, the enemy's not going to sit still. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass, as we were going to the place of prayer, that a certain maid having the spirit of divination, I'll hang on that in a minute. The Bible said she met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She's basically a witch. Come on, somebody. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting. Now, this will blow your mind. These men are servants of the Most High God and are telling you the way to be saved. But she was doing things in such a way that she was trying to become a distraction. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul got sick and tired of it. Come on. He got so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Now in the Greek, the Bible said she had the spirit of divination. In the Greek, it is pneumapythona. It literally translates in English, the python spirit. She had the spirit of a constrictor. And she was saying things that on the surface seemed like truth, and it was truth, but it was perverted truth. And the python spirit, can I teach you a little bit today? The python spirit wants to get in your life, and he wants to get in the church, and he wants to get in the house, but we don't play with the python spirit. We don't play with Jezebel. We'll send Jezebel straight to hell. Can I get a witness in this? You don't play with the devil. You don't play with demons. You don't entertain the enemy. You take authority over the enemy, and you tell the devil, not in my house, not in my church, not in my family, not on my row, not in my life. I take authority over you. We've been patacaking with the devil too long. It's time for the church to rise up and know who you are. Can I talk to you? The python spirit. Watch. She was saying in part the right thing, but a python spirit will say the right thing with the wrong spirit. That's why you have to have something called discernment. Help me, Holy Spirit. And what it wants to do, the spirit of Python wants to attach to your anointing. The spirit of Python wants to attach to the anointing like that's in this house or on your life, because there's something, if they can attach to you, they gain legitimacy by corrupting the flow of God. That's why I love everybody, but I can't attach to everybody. If you knew the people that invited me to their church and I said no, but you would be shocked if you knew the significant people that I had identified the wrong spirit in and they asked me to come. I said, thank you, but I'm not able to come, because you know why? I'm not attaching myself to compromise. I'm not attaching myself to immorality. I'm not attaching myself to fornication. I'm not attaching myself to things that don't glorify Jesus, because every invitation is not my yes. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I want to connect to people who want what I want in the things of God. Some people want to connect to you because they want the proximity to give them validity. Can I help somebody? It's a python spirit. Let me give you the marks of Python. They have a counterfeit prophetic voice. I said counterfeit. It manipulates and controls in the name of the prophetic. It speaks just enough truth to be tolerated, but enough error to derail what God wants to do. Come on, somebody. I know this is deep. It feeds people's ego. These are men of the Most High. It elevates man and doesn't glorify God. Come on, somebody. It clouds discernment. It flatters leaders to position. It flatters leaders that have influence. It's like a python. It's a slow and squeezing control. You don't even realize hardly it's happened until you're immobile, like a real python. This spirit breaths slowly, incrementally. It wants to suffocate prayer. It wants to strangle worship. It wants to squeeze the life out of intercession. It wants to move in such a way. But I want to tell you, every spirit of python is a false prophet. I don't care if they're on platforms or they have stages or they're sitting in your row or they're at prayer meetings. If it squeezes out what God wants to do, there's a devil loose. They use vague words. They sell prophecy. They'll say things like, you know, I feel led to release this prophetic word, but I need you to sow this amount. Y'all, can I tell you something? A real prophet does not prophesy for profit. It's a fire shut up in his bones. You get a real prophet, he'll burn up if he don't release the word of the Lord. Come on. So I've been in churches where they say, if you'll bring $1,000, I'll give a word. If you'll bring five, there's the $1,000 line. Here's the $500, I've seen it. Here's the $300 line. Here's the $100 line. And I don't wonder if the prophecies get deeper or shallower with every dollar. You say, well, you know, I was that one. I paid $500. You got ripped off. I would have prophesied over you and your whole family for $19.95. Come on, somebody. No, let me tell you something. When it's real prophecy, and when it's really from heaven, baby, it ain't for sale. God, give us some prophets who will prophesy, yea, verily, thus saith the Lord. We don't monetize the message. Come on, somebody. So what the Spirit wants, it's not prophetic. There's a devil loose. It offers insight without repentance. It offers insight without surrender, power without submission, spiritualism without the Holy Spirit. God, help me. It doesn't exalt Jesus. It sounds right, but the Spirit is wrong. If it can be disguised even in worship. The Python Spirit loves to wrap around worship ministries. Come on, hey, how was our worship today? Was that supernatural? You ought to give our team a God bless you. All those people on that stage. No, that's not good enough. We ought to tell them thank you and thank God that we had somebody who led us in warfare worship today. But the Python Spirit loves to wrap around worship ministries. Listen to me. Convincing them to perform more than they press in. Are you hearing me? It's not about pressing in, it's about performing. It pushes performance above presence. Oh, Jesus. They show, it pushes the show over the altar, the show over surrender, emotion over encounter. It is such a tool of the enemy. It strangles the breath of spontaneous praise. It strangles prophetic worship. It strangles the spiritual move of God. But I say in the name of Jesus, where the Spirit of the Lord is, let there be freedom. I need healing in my body. Let there be freedom. My children need to be saved. Let there be freedom. Oh, somebody who wants the real thing, let God know with this praise you're hungry. You know that you're in an atmosphere where the worship is controlled by Python when people are churching but they're not changing. Singing but not shifting atmospheres. Oh, Jesus. I said they're singing but they're not shifting atmosphere. They're rehearsing but they're not releasing. Real worship breaks chains. Python worship can thrill crowds but binds the true move of God. Paul dealt with the spirit, didn't he? He didn't debate it. He cast it out. And the church has got to stop playing polite with the enemy. The church has stopped. I got to stop letting the devil paralyze the move of God. We got to stop letting Python push us around. Come on, you don't compromise. You don't counsel a Python. Y'all better help me. You don't counsel Python. You cast him out. Come on, somebody. I'm afraid that we're trying to counsel out what the old folk used to cast out. The word used for come out was so powerful. It is a word that means depart, be driven out, and let me add a caveat to it. Leave and don't you come back. I am ready to tell every devil in hell that has attacked you and your family and your children and anything agenda against this house, devil, I want you to leave and never come back. I know this is radical, but I feel like there is a faith rising in this room as I'm teaching this spirit and exposing Python. Something is shifting in your mind. Raise up your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, devil, I command you, leave and never come back. Now give God a praise. Leave my children and never come back. Leave my family and never come back. Leave my mind and never come back. Leave it and never come back. What did he say? He said, come out in the name of Jesus. He didn't say come out in the name of Paul. I told y'all I was preaching in Singapore last month or month before last. And I'm telling you, devil's manifested. This devil got me around the throat. A big man, Channing was there, grabbed two hands around my throat. That wouldn't happen at Calvary, I was supposed to tell you that. I got about, I don't know how many, at least 500 of y'all would jump on that joker and say, you better take your hands off him. And we'd be binding the devil. Come on, somebody. But he got his hand around my throat and they loosened that devil's hands from my throat. That man who was possessed by that devil, I got in his ear and started quoting scripture. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you got to come out. That man fell like a dead man, like somebody had shot him. Listen, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, that name is above manipulation. That name is above control. That name is above every spirit, including Python. I'm telling you, you need to go in your house when you get home and just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break all influence of the enemy off of my house and I bind every demonic stronghold. Python will build a stage. A real prophet will build an altar. Are you hearing me? Are y'all ready for me to close or you want me to finish up? If you're ready for this last part, give God a praise like you want it all. Come on. You want all that the Lord has from Acts 16. Now, when he cast that devil out, her masters were upset because she made them money. And they wound up being thrown in prison, in the inner prison, the stinkiest part of the prison. The darkest part of the prison, the dirtiest part of the prison. This wasn't a holding cell, this was a dungeon. No light, no ventilation, no hope, and the Bible said they had been beaten until they were half dead. Their feet were fastened in stocks, and their hands were fastened in stocks, and they were fastened to each other against the wall. Can you imagine? They had their hands and their feet against the wall, and they are fastened to person after person, and the whole place is in bondage. And the Bible says that along about midnight, they began to praise the Lord. About midnight, they began to praise the Lord. And that brings me to number four. Praise will break the chains, especially a midnight praise. Have you ever brought God a midnight praise? Have you ever brought God a praise when you were weeping? Have you ever brought God a midnight praise when everything in your life was not where you wanted it to be? But you said, God, I'm still going to praise you because I believe that you are on my side. Somebody right now, if you want to break some chains, you don't need to sit there and be quiet. You need to go ahead and bring God a midnight praise. Maybe it's midnight for your son, but bring him a midnight praise till he gets set free. God, I feel this. I need somebody right now who's not afraid to praise God, even though everything's not perfect and it seems like midnight on some situation in your life. 1, 2, 3. Give God a midnight praise. Hallelujah. 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 It's a midnight praise. Somebody say a midnight praise. Let me finish this. In Jewish tradition, the day does not begin in the morning and sunrise. It begins at sunset. Midnight is not the end of the day. It's the beginning of a new one. So what does that mean? You may feel like you're in the middle of the night, in the middle of a fight, but God says it's already a new day. All you got to do is praise me. God said all you got to do is praise me at midnight, and you'll unlock the new day that I've already put you in. So I want you to stand to your feet right now, and I want you to give God the greatest praise, even if it's midnight. Because praise will break the chains. Praise will open the doors. You think we're just being emotional, baby? We are setting the captive free. Remain standing. Now watch this. Come on up here, son. Hallelujah. Come on up here, Jordan. I love you. Come on up here, son. Hallelujah. Come on up here, Anderson. Come on up here, EJ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on up here. Come on up here, son. Yeah, you come on. Come on. Y'all act like you like each other. Come on, get close to each other. Okay. I'm going to let you be number one. You're going to be Paul. Because you loud, rowdy, and the devil thinks you're obnoxious, but you just got freedom. I don't know if you know this boy right here, but he outdances everybody in praise and worship, and he leads the whole youth group in radical praise. So we're going to let this be Paul and this be Silas. I want to talk to you about praise has a chain reaction. I dare you to tell your neighbor, praise has a chain reaction. The Bible said that when they began to praise the Lord about midnight, it said the whole prison got delivered. Every chain fell off and every prison door flew open. But you gotta understand that there had to be an instigator. So they're all chained to each other. They're all chained one to another. I think I'm gonna grow it. Come up here. You better get ready to praise the Lord. You got on your Puma shirt. I want you to praise the Lord like you lost your mind in just a minute. Come on. I can't let not. I need a daughter. Come up here, daughter. Come on. I need a couple daughters. Y'all better give this daughter a God bless you. Come on. I need me a radical daughter. Let me put my glasses on. See if I can find me a radical daughter over here. Where's the most radical daughter in this? Come on, yo, yeah, come here. You better come on. Yeah, come on. Give a radical daughter a God bless you. No, y'all, these are young people. Y'all ought to give them a God bless you. Come on, daughter. So what happened? Oh, hallelujah. It's about midnight, Pastor Jackie, and they decide they're going to praise the Lord. Some of y'all would have been saying, can't we get out of here? But they said, we're going to praise him right where we are. Somebody say a chain reaction. Yes, somebody had to instigate it. And what happened when Paul started praising the Lord? Freedom started going down the line. And everybody's shackles got unleashed. And every prison door flew open. Now I want you to praise God. Bring him, one, two, three, bring him. Yeah. And here, now you praise him. Free. 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 Now you praise him. My God, if you'll praise the Lord, everybody on your roof can get set free. It's a chain reaction. So I dare you right now, open up your mouth and give God praise. Y'all don't stop praising. I didn't tell y'all to stop praising. You just got set free. You just got out of shackles. God just set you free. Why don't you jump? Why don't somebody shout like your praise will break the chains? Get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, in the name of Jesus, will you be my praise partner? Chains are hitting the ground. One, two, three, praise the Lord. You might be struggling, but praise the Lord. It might be hard, but praise the Lord. It might be midnight, but praise the Lord. Praise will break the chains. Chaos. That's too fast. Ready? Sing it. Praise will break the chains.
Praise will break the chains. Praise will break, praise will break, praise will break the chains. Praise will break the chains. Praise will break the chains. Praise will break, praise will break, praise will break the chains. Praise will break the chains. Praise will break the chains. Praise will break, praise will break, praise will break the chains. Praise will break the chains. Praise will break the chains.
Praise will break,
praise will break, praise will break the chains.
Praise will break the chains. Praise will break the chains.
Praise will break, praise will break, praise will break the chains.
Y'all know that I don't do this lightly, but I feel like the Lord said there are about 200 or more people that if you will get up here in the front and you will go ahead and give the Lord the most radical praise, that chains are going to break in your life, off of your family, off of your health. Are you ready? If you want to come and dance or shout, whatever you need. The message, I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here. Real soon.